This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn. What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Thursday.
You got me for about an hour.
How's everybody doing?
After that, you're on your own.
Aren't I always on my own?
Yeah, so to some extent, yeah.
Yeah, the Mets game is starting in an hour.
Yeah, the only one. Everyone else had the decency to sweep. Not the Mets.
I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Because I am a fan of a baseball team in the playoffs. I know how you feel. But I can assure you. I can't assure you, but I am confident as an impartial observer that the Mets are going to win this game.
I have zero, and I mean zero faith.
I know, but we don't care what you think because you're an actual fan of the team.
That's true.
So therefore, your opinion is skewed, and it doesn't matter. You're thinking like a fan. I'm telling you impartially.
They're going to get it, huh?
The Mets get this because the Mets, as we've been saying, they have magic.
Got a little something. Got a little something. I thought I got a little cocky sniff. I thought yesterday was going to happen, and then
I didn't know you guys had that guy.
Poof.
That Maton guy.
Yeah,
from the Astros.
Yeah, he's solid.
He'd be giving up. Well, he wasn't last night.
He wasn't last night. He had pitched four times in 5 days. He's given up one home run all year, but they were hitting him hard, and then he gave up the home run, and then they left him in there. But I think that was just they've been white knuckling this thing for like a week and a half.
Exactly. That's what they do.
They just ran out of arms.
It's what they do.
You know, you could have gone to Peterson and gone with the starter, but
they were like, whatever about this game. We'll see you tomorrow.
Boy, I don't think that's what they were doing.
We'll see you tomorrow, Jackson Churio.
So, and we're rolling with a Quintana, man. That creep can roll.
He's old.
Well, they're all.
Is he 50 yet?
The entire Mets pitching staff is like 10-10, 11-9. You know, with and went through rough patches, but have been good lately. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's only 35.
I don't know what to do.
Hey, spry Jose Quintana.
If Pete Alonso would show up and someone hit a home run, namely Pete Alonso, I would appreciate it. So.
Oh, look at you! How quickly you forget Frankie Lindor's massive home run Monday.
Well, right now, Frankie Lindor is the one Met that I trust with my life. Because, as I've stated, the real MVP of the National League, Frankie Lindor. The rest of these clowns, come on!
That is a scorching hot dog poo take.
Yeah, it's horse.
It is
horse
not. Bleep. He's the most valuable player to his team, and you all know.
That's like horseradish.
Not even worth talking
You take
about.
Otani off the Dodgers, they're fine. Frankie Lindor off the Mets.
This Tobias Myers guy that you guys are facing, do you know him at all?
He's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty nasty.
Yeah, that's kind of what everyone's
saying. I've not seen him pitch. Is he a rookie?
Yeah, he's young. Well, he's 26, but I think he's a rookie this year. He's been wallowing around the minors. I don't know what's gotten into him, but he's pretty good, man.
Yeah, they say lately he's been absolutely filthy. So I have, I am jealous of fans that can watch games with confidence. I hate watch. Every sports team that I like.
Well, I don't think baseball fans watch with much confidence. Do you?
Yankee
fans do.
Yankee fans do. I think Giant fan does.
Did you, Buckley?
No.
You hate watch too?
There was one year where they kind of rolled everybody, but the first couple, they were the wild card. They were the underdog. They played to the last day of the season to get in. It was never a belief until the last out.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's just the nature of baseball is you really, because you know. When you're okay, so like for example, Baltimore. It's funny, you and I, when we watch the baseball season, we know about the O's, we know about Gunnar Henderson and Adley and everything, but we don't really pay too much attention to the manager and the moves the manager makes.
No.
Well, I was watching all of these funny videos of the fans livid,
just losing their S
at the Baltimore manager.
Yeah.
And I think that's funny, but that's when the fan is immersed in the team, they know all of the little tiny things that you and I wouldn't because we don't watch them all that much.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that drives us crazy. Yeah. It's the one guy, the Royals have this guy named MJ Melendez. I'm telling you, he sucks. And if he ever gets up in a big spot, you can take it to the bank. He will do nothing.
Yeah.
It's things like that. You wouldn't know that. No. You don't watch the Royals all that much. It's things like that I think plant the negative seed, and then we just, that's the way we watch baseball, I think. I don't know if football fans are like this. I think Blazer fans, I'm thinking about the Blazers, when they were in the playoffs and stuff. I think Blazer fans have a little bit of this.
I'm just jealous of any fan that's optimistic. Any fan that's like, we got this, I am jealous of.
Well, it's not necessarily optimistic or pessimistic. It's just you're always waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're waiting for somebody to pull the rug out from under you.
I think that doesn't happen to the fan bases who have seen their teams win a lot. I don't think it happens to Boston fans.
Because
they're used to winning.
Exactly. Whenever I hear Boston
they're not
fan
nervous
or Yankee
about those
fan.
Games. No, they expect to win another title.
That's right.
Yeah, the Celtics are gonna win because the Celtics are the balls.
I think it's the teams that are in drought that
the Celtics are the balls.
I wish I was the Mets are gonna win because the Mets are the balls, but I don't think the Mets are the balls.
They're far from it.
They're the taint.
Yeah,
they're the grundle, if you will. And so I have no faith. It's been a great year, and I'll say this: even if they lose, it is a fun season. It's a roller coaster, but I don't want it to end. I thought they had a little magic. I thought last night everything was.
Why are you talking about them in past tense?
Because that's
they haven't even started.
You'll always have Grimace 2024.
Yes.
Yeah.
If they lose, I'm blaming Hawk too. Is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, it's her fault.
That
spit on that thing.
That dumb. You know what?
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
It's awful mean. I think you should turn that frown upside down and just enjoy your team being in the postseason. Look right across the glass there. There's a young man who loves his San Francisco Giants, and he never sees them win, and now they're not in the
For a decade I haven't seen him win.
He can't even enjoy what you can enjoy.
At least
so
I'm not,
just enjoy.
Not Mariner fan.
And I told
that?
This to Yankee fan, Jake. We have two Yankee fans here in the office, Jake and Cooley.
Yeah, it's been a while for Yankee fan, too.
Cooley's already being super obnoxious. But then I was talking to Jake, and he's he's one of the kids, 23, 24. And he admitted to me that being a Yankee fan, some of the fun of being a Yankee fan is being cocky.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which I thought, thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of you ever say that. You're just cocky. He admitted we like being cocky, but I said, listen, I'm in the best case scenario. You won't feel this way if the Mets advance, I don't think. But this year with the Royals, and some of this has to do with the fact that they won a World Series 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. But because if they hadn't, I'd be gripping. But they got the World Series, they went to two. That satisfies you for an amount of time.
Sure.
I have never waltzed into a series as a fan and been more whatever happens.
Unmoved by the potential results.
This is great. Well, it's great. You're just in a great position. I told him, I said, Jake, all the pressure's on you.
Yeah.
we have nothing. We're the underdog. We shouldn't win the series. We didn't expect to be here. You guys are the mighty Yankees. You're supposed to kick everyone's ass. Aaron Judge is supposed to hit 800 home runs. All the pressure's on you. This is a good place to be as a fan.
That only happens, though, when your fandom tank is filled up like that from the past championship.
That's correct.
That is true. Being a fan of an also-ran team certainly provides you with something that the Yankees, the Red Sox, could never have.
I'm just going to enjoy it.
But at the same time, being a Red Sox or Yankee fan provides you with a lot of championships. Like, that helps, too.
Yankees haven't won since...
No, they haven't won in a long time.
Early 2000s? Is that when the last time they won?
I would assume so.
The right? stupid 2000, Yankees?
Was it the Subway Series? Was that the last one that they won?
2009 is the 2009. Last one they won.
Oh, that was Subway Series. Yeah.
No, 2000 was the Subway Series, I think.
It was?
That was the George Bush. Yeah, that was Mets-Yankees.
Was that Subway Series?
Yeah, wasn't that the Subway Series?
No, it was the Diamondbacks.
No, that was the Diamondbacks that ruined it for New York.
Yeah.
In the...
The Subway Series was later. The Subway Series was later.
Okay. Look that up.
No, the Subway Series was definitely 2000.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, but 2009 was their last title. That wasn't Subway.
Yeah, the Mets-Yankees.
Well, who did they beat in 2009?
I'm finding out.
Subway Series was in 2000.
Yeah.
Mm.
They beat...
If you had Sports Gun at my head and I had to...
Yeah, you would have thought.
I would be dead.
No, I get it.
They beat the Phillies. Charlie Manuel's Phillies.
2009, okay.
Well, you know, it's been a long time, 1986. We're on a Royals-esque run. You know, you had that 30-year run.
Yeah, we won in 85.
The Mets have been there a couple times, including against your Kansas City Royals.
Nobody can beat us, really.
No,
I got texts from Baltimore fans that they're like, God, I'm so tired of losing to you in the playoffs. Mm. Like, wow. I didn't know it was that, but it is, because the last two times Baltimore's really had a... good chance. Yeah. We've beaten them.
Well, I mean, it's been a while for me.
With our barrage of runs that we score.
I mean, I don't have an NFL team that I particularly pull for, so I can never claim that. The Mets haven't won since 86. The Red Wings have been irrelevant for a long time. Now, growing up, the Red Wings were really good, but they've been stinky for a long time. BYU's never winning squat, so, you know, it's been a while for me. Be nice. It'd be nice to have a little championship pride. You know, get on a plane and go to a World Series.
Meanwhile,
game.
Up in Seattle.
Yeah.
The Mariners.
Yeah, Mariners. But they got the Seahawks. Seahawks, you know, hey, they got one.
Yeah.
You
know, the Padres, I was talking to my brother. He lives in San Diego.
Seattle.
And he said that city's a buzz right now.
Yeah, I can
imagine. They have never won.
No.
The title.
They've never won anything.
No. And I think when you're one of those cities that hasn't had it or hasn't had it in a while, and you get that first series win, that momentum in the city is awesome.
This is going to be intense. They're getting ready to play the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The hated Dodgers.
Yes. And that thing is...
That's going to be a fun series.
Yes.
We were down. I went to a Dodgers-Padres game. And like I always say, this was, I don't know, maybe this was 2-3 years ago. Like, you can always find tickets to a game. It's just not hard to do, right? Even standing outside, we ended up in the... they have that little center field kind of, I don't know, it's like a it's like a family area out there.
Yeah, it's just grass.
It's just grass out there. That was the only way to get into that game. I mean, there was no one selling tickets. Dude, that thing is intense.
Yep. He said they're buzzing down there.
And I can
imagine.
They're
fired up.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's hot baseball talk, guys. Mets, Brewers, the only game tonight.
You have a Thursday night football if you want.
We do.
You got some primetime Kirk Cousins.
We do want that.
Who, by the way, you know, for all the flack he gets, I saw a thing about his last 10 primetime games. He's pretty good. Got a 92 quarterback rating, 20 tutties, 10 picks.
Yeah, he started out like 0-7 in primetime or something like that. And then since then, he's like 3-1 or something like that. He's turned it around.
Yeah, just, you know, he gets a lot of flack. And last 10 primetime games, 6-4. 20 tutties, 10 picks, 92 passer rating. You know, that's solid.
Right.
So just let's back off Kirkers there a little bit. Right. Takes a lot of crap.
Right. Yeah, we got Falcons Bucks tonight.
Well, and all of a sudden that division, I don't know if it's great football, but it's interesting football.
I'm excited to watch Bucky Irving tonight. I haven't seen a lot. I've seen some highlights, but he's kind of becoming the number one guy there.
I don't know if you've seen like his usage, but each game it's going up by like 7-8%.
He may be overtaking Rashad White for the starting role.
Yeah, Bucky's a nice little player there.
All right, well, guys, suddenly a lot to get to.
Suddenly a lot to get to.
We'll start with our poll question next on The Fan.
I got something's on.
All right, let's get to our poll question. It's on X @1080 The Fan. Yesterday, we had the precursor of, now be honest, but the question was, which unbeaten is less of a top 10 team right now?
Yeah, and these were all good answers.
Well, you had Miami, Oregon, Penn State, and Missouri.
Yeah.
Because they are in the top 10.
Yeah.
And winning the poll by a narrow margin, Missouri at 32%.
People have a hard time accepting Missouri. Missouri's a good team. Missouri's a really good team last year, but Missouri, they squeaked by. It was 2 weeks ago. I'm trying to remember who they squeaked by.
Boston College, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was BC.
And they're underdogs this weekend at A&M, I think.
I may have laid a little sauce on Missouri. Yeah,
they're playing A&M. College Station, yeah.
Yep. Like
A&M's, that's a good game.
I think A&M's 2.5. There's a couple good games in...
SportsCenter's previewing it right now.
Yeah, there's a couple good games in college football this year. Or, excuse me, this week. Missouri, A&M, what was the other one? We got Ole Miss, South Carolina. I want to see if Ole Miss can bounce back a little bit. You're like,
what an exciting time.
I mean, think about this. Dude, Clemson's 3-1 and all of a sudden looks like a real contender again.
Florida State's
1-4.
Yeah. They beat Cal, huh?
And DJ's done. He's got like
out.
A finger injury and they're going to the other quarterback. Thing?
No, it's not. No.
DJ,
I mean, it's just weird to think about him, you know, from being the number one quarterback prospect to even last year when he got to Oregon State, talk of him being an NFL quarterback. He's not even a college quarterback. I mean, that's a guy that's had a lot of chances and just it never worked. So, I mean, it was always like, let's blame Clemson's offense. And then, you know, at Oregon State, under a real quarterback coach and a structured offense, it still wasn't enough. And then he goes down there to Florida State and it's been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, it's just rough.
Correction, it was not Boston College, it was Vanderbilt.
Yeah, needed OT to beat Vandy.
That's what
Who needs OT to beat Vandy? Get out of here, Missouri.
But didn't they beat they beat Boston College?
And that
right?
was close.
And that was close. But it was Vanderbilt the one they squeaked by because people
Boston College might be okay.
Yeah, and people crap all over Vanderbilt. But as Dave Bartu would tell you, dude, Vandy's not as bad as people think.
Yeah, he was all over their upset to start the season.
Yeah.
So Missouri 32%. Oregon 28%. Mm. Whoa.
Well, I mean, to be fair. Again, take the bias out of it. Oregon has done nothing. Oregon has looked absolutely bland in the first two games. Should have lost to Boise State. They beat up an Oregon State team, which, again, we don't know what to make of Oregon State, but there's such a giant talent gap there. And then, you know, you look at UCLA, and it was a nice performance in the first half. I think the score is a little closer than some people would like. So, again, they haven't proved anything.
Yeah, I know, but I think talent-wise, they're a top-10 team.
Absolutely,
sure.
Talent-wise, they're a top-10 team.
So that's why it's a good question. It's like everybody views what makes a top-10 team differently.
Yeah.
To me, they're definitely a top-10 team. Miami is 25%, and then Penn State down there at 15%.
Yeah.
So I would have probably voted Missouri just because I hate them. Here
is
today's
ninnies from Missouri.
Here's today's question. We're asking you at 1080 the fan on X, who or what is the most overcovered entity in sports, i.e., who are you most tired of hearing about?
All right.
We have Aaron Rodgers.
See, I feel like some of his stuff has died down a little bit.
LeBron James, the Kelce brothers, or the Cowboys?
LeBron James.
And I can tell you right now, live on the radio. That the Cowboys are leading that poll question.
Sure.
38%.
I'd say Cowboys and LeBron for me. Flip a coin.
LeBron James.
It's a heated race between LeBron and the Kelce brothers for second. Rodgers is down there last 14.
I think I would lean to more LeBron because at least with Dallas over the last handful of years, I mean, Dallas is a good team. I know they've got some real issues this year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And I know we talk about Dak a lot, but I mean, the LeBron stuff is just asinine. It really is. He is, that to me is it's an overwhelming mash the button for me.
Did you hear he got him a practice DJ?
Yeah, he's got a practice DJ, and then you throw his kid into the mix.
He has his own DJ?
Well, they have it, yes. They have
the
DJ.
The team has installed a DJ before and after practice at LeBron's suggestion.
Yes.
Nice.
They have a DJ. And then you have to hearing about him and his dumb kid who shouldn't be in the NBA, and he's on there. It's just, he's a lot. And LeBron's greatness. I mean, the Cowboys aren't greatness. LeBron is, but I mean.
J.J. Redick, baby.
You take like a middle of the road, like a Laker team last year that was trying to get into the play-in game, and people are like, are the Lakers real contenders? No, they're not. They weren't real contenders last year. They're not real contenders this year. I mean, it's just not. And yet we continually try to make that a thing. Whereas over the years, Dallas has actually been a contender.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm sure people do try to make it a thing. Yeah. I think that it's more that, and I think Colin Cowherd has a lot to do with this. Mm-hmm. 9 to noon here on The Fan. Mm-hmm. They like to talk about the most popular teams.
Sure.
And just beat it to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. Yeah. And it's LeBron, because he's on the Lakers, and the Cowboys.
I think
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers or Jets, and then, like, you know.
I mean, I eat up
Yankees.
I eat up a lot of NFL coverage. It's by far that in college football, the things that I eat the most of, and certainly NFL is on top of that. And I'm telling you, even from a national basis, the Cowboys are not a big source of discussion this year. I know in the years past they have, but, you know, the Dak and CeeDee Lamb thing in the preseason certainly got it going, but they're not. The Cowboys are a bit of an afterthought right now. I mean, Washington and Philly are getting more coverage right now than Dallas, and they probably should. I mean, I don't think we're talking enough about the fact that Dallas has real defensive problems.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it, because they're winning the poll question. Nobody wants to hear about the Cowboys. Who cares about the Cowboys? They're never any good.
No, there's just other interesting NFL storylines right now, and it's not the Cowboys. And
like my Jags.
Vancouver Ford text line says you left Deion Sanders off the list.
I thought about putting him
Deion's
on there.
Deion's a lot.
But I think those other, I probably could have put Deion in place of Rodgers, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, even
in place of the Cowboys. I just don't feel like they have much to talk about right now.
No, like I said.
But they're always, people are always talking about
them. People are always talking about them. I'm just saying this year.
And they're winning, by the way.
For these four weeks that we've seen in the NFL, I'm just telling you, from a national perspective, I just don't hear a lot about Dallas. They're an afterthought. I would say,
good
from a national standpoint, the biggest stories right now in the NFL, Minnesota has a lot of juice, and they should. Washington, a lot of juice. Totally get it.
Jaden Daniels
is doing, very, very impressive. I think Kansas City, because Kansas City's 4-0 and looks about as average as humanly possible, and now you throw in the Rice injury, I think there's a lot of talk about that. I would say those are probably right now the biggest national storylines. And then I'll throw in the Bills. For the first 3 weeks, and then getting dismantled by Baltimore. I would say those are kind of the biggest national storylines going right now, and it's nice that it's not the same two or three teams that are getting shoved down our throats.
We have to tell you about two things. Programming note, This is our last full show of the week.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
3.5-day work week.
Yeah.
I secretly think they're making us work tomorrow because they're upset at the Monday day.
Who's
off.
They?
I think the deep state. I think that's what it is. The Democrats.
Deep radio state.
Deep radio state.
Damn libs.
I'm thinking Obama, another just liberal BS policy.
Hey, did you hear Obama and Jennifer Aniston are getting it on?
What? Really?
Yeah. You hear that?
Kick ass.
It's the new hot conspiracy. Well,
good for him. Wait,
she denied it, though.
Oh, well.
But he confirmed it?
I mean, I don't want any families to be, like, broken up. But if
I heard it on TV.
If you are going to break up a family, isn't Jennifer Aniston kind of family breakup worthy?
I mean, John Mayer once described her as sexual napalm.
Look.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Whoa.
Look, if I found out that, like, a friend of mine was like, hey, I'm leaving my wife and kids, I'd be like, you son of a bitch. And he'd be like, it's for Jennifer Aniston. Immediately, I'd be like, all right. You know, kids are out of the house, you know, right? Michelle's doing fine on her own. She's like the highest paid speaker in the world. Hey, man. Hey, Barack. Go get you some friends. I can't cast that judgment. It's, you know, if Salma Hayek comes rolling through, and it's, by the way, same thing. You're telling me if Michelle Obama was rolling around, all of a sudden Jason Momoa showed up, anyone would be like, how dare you? You'd be like, hey, it's Aquaman. I get it.
So tomorrow's show will be noon to 2. Can you believe that? We're on middays, guys.
That's going
to
be very strange.
Yeah, Joey Harrington will join us at 1:30. And I don't know. Maybe we'll be here on time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Is it possible that we just kind of forget about, like, Rob comes rolling in off the golf course, like, what?
Or there's different traffic than you're used to for some reason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lunchtime traffic.
What are you normally doing at 12 o'clock?
Yeah, kind of getting lunch.
You got to throw off your daily schedule?
Maybe swinging on the hammock, prepping for the show. I don't know. Nothing major.
It's weird. It's like with Oregon playing a nighttime game, right? You got to sit around all day. This throws off your vibes, man. You need that quality hammock time. You have to move everything up. I have a very, like, I don't know about you, I have a very regimented day. Like, most of my days are laid out about the same time frame, and this whole noon thing, it's throwing me for a loop.
I don't like regiment.
No?
I need fluid.
I'm a pretty...
I need to pivot at any minute.
Well, I mean, I certainly can pivot, but...
Based on a whim.
You don't. Most of your days don't have a similar, like, kind of
pattern? I try to put as little in my calendar as possible, Jace.
Oh, okay. No, mine's...
But you don't still have, like, a pattern of the order that you do things?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
But, like I said...
Got to be putting by 10 a.m. every
switch
day.
Switch it up. That's right. I'm usually out there by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, like, I didn't really...
It's a rough life.
I'd probably say 85% of my days get laid out exactly the same. And I like it. I like it that way.
So, that's tomorrow, noon to 2, here on The Fan. Joe Harrington, the whole thing. And then Monday, I have to tell you, we have a special show. Did you guys know that on Monday, we will be... Broadcasting live
from
A-Lin-A Stadium Sports Bar and Grill.
A little Monday night football.
Cha-ching.
Let's go.
The game is Saints Chiefs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
know.
Good
little game.
I don't know if at the start of the year you would think anything about Saints Chiefs, but all of a sudden, hey, Saints, although they've come back down to earth the last couple weeks. But
yeah, but the Chiefs will, they'll make it interesting if I know anything about the Chiefs.
Dude, the Chiefs offense right now, the Chiefs offense is not good.
Not very good.
It's
and
not.
They just lost Rashee Rice to friendly fire. Did you see that play from Mahomes?
The interception fumble, and it was Mahomes that took out his knee.
It looked like he was a defender trying to take out his knee.
It blew him out.
I know he didn't need to, but.
Well, I'll say this, dude. The whole Davante Adams thing, the one team, like, is I think Davante Adams, we're making way too much of that. We do it all the time with name receivers, but he's 32 years old or about to be 32. Don't give up the world for him. The production's is declining. The one team that should give up a lot for him and go get him right now is the Kansas City Chiefs.
What's the premium for a division rival?
I don't know. Whatever it is, pay it. Because and you're in Kansas City, you're in win mode right now. And your defense has held you up and won you two Super Bowls, and you're always going to be in the game with Patrick Mahomes. You have the youngest defense in the NFL, so draft capital, whatever. The price, and by the way, if you're Kansas City, again, whether you give up a couple picks or not, your team is going to be set for the next couple years. You're fine. And you don't have right now a threat. You just don't. And the one guy that you do have is kind of old in Travis Kelce, and he's a middle of the field guy. Go out. So if the compensation for Davante Adams is a second round and probably a fifth, by God, offer him a second and a third.
Would you
and go out and make it done?
But what about like Mari Cooper?
Yeah,
he would cost less, and I like him.
He would cost less.
He would cost less.
He would cost less. Yeah, he would cost less.
He would cost less, and I know he's a pro.
I do know that.
I got something's on. I would go make and do the whole division rival thing and be like, you're going to have to make a better deal than other people. I just think there's a handful of teams that are truly in a win now that he might actually make a difference. Like the Washington thing, dude, he's not winning anything in Washington. He's not winning anything in New York, although I get they're in a win mode now. But for a team like Buffalo, for a team like Kansas City, those are the ones that make sense. And for Kansas City, you have a giant need right now and an offense that hasn't looked right in a while. It has. I mean, going back to last year, it doesn't look right. It's only being buoyed up by the fact that the best player on the planet is your quarterback. Even if you even if you swap Mahomes for another top five quarterback, this is a very, very, very average Kansas City offense. So that's a team that I think, you know, have some balls and go out and make a swinge and make a play
for
Adams.
What about Keenan Allen?
No.
Keenan Allen's old and... Frequently
always,
hurt.
Always hurt.
I just,
what about Cooper Kupp?
Again.
Hurt, right?
I think he's... he has not been the same after that, like, 200-target season. He scares me.
So Adams is the guy.
I think Adams is the guy. Mm-hmm. I think if you're Kansas City, you need someone. And even though, like I said, I don't love... Go back and look at him. I'm telling you, when you turn 32 as a receiver in the NFL, it's like... Dude, it is the cliff. We talk about running backs
at 30, right? Or used
receivers
to be.
32, and guess who's 32 years old? Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen has a rough history and has done anything in Chicago. So look, and maybe that's a cheap tag, and you take a run at that. But Adams is turning 32, and the production is dipping. But he's still a guy in that offense that can make a difference. Because again, in Kansas City, they've been able to make it work with kind of mismatched parts. And he is a guy that would be by far their best offensive target, including Travis Kelce at his age. So it just makes sense. Buffalo and Kansas City, pick up the phone, because those are the teams that I think he might actually be to put over the top. The rest of these squads that people are throwing out there, it's a drop of water in a bucket. It's not, he's not a Super Bowl difference maker for the Jets or for the Commanders or a team like the Chargers. That's not moving the needle, but a team like Kansas City might.
So there's a wing special they have going on Monday night at the Stadium Sports Bar there at A&A. It's up there in Ridgefield. So join us for the game, Chiefs Saints. Join us for our broadcast. Join us for wings. And you can bet the game at the Sportsbook, which is right there by the Stadium Sports Bar.
Do a great job up there, too.
They do. It's a great place. A&A live show Monday, 3 to 7. Up next, the OBJ era has become.
The era has become.
Here's Buckley.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, coming up, they're zeroing in on who may be the next Woj. One name might surprise you.
Yeah, I saw that. That was it was interesting.
We also have some Bucky Irving appreciation coming up. But Wall Street Journal for the win again, Jace.
What do we got?
Well, they wrote a good article, and I got to be honest, I was skeptical of it being a good article. Mm. They were talking about... Ryan Williams, the kid, the freshman receiver from Alabama,
17 years old, that made
he's amazing.
As good a play as you will see in college football all year to beat Georgia.
So there's that guy, and you say he's 17. Mm-hmm. So he's just, you know, months removed from senior prom.
I whenever I see a freshman like that in college football, I just think, who was the poor bastard playing high school football?
Right.
you know, some white corner somewhere, and they were like, hey, by the way, we're playing, you know, Tuscaloosa high, and hey, Jimmy, we're going to put you over there on this kid.
Hey,
and
we need you to step it up this week, Jimmy.
And, okay. And they try to hype him up. They're like, this Williams kid, he's all hype, I'm telling you. Yeah, he's like 3-time state player of the year, but I'm telling you, you got him. Or do you just go out there and you're like, dude, I'm good. Mom, can you not come to the game? Because this is going to get bad.
So it's him, and then Jeremiah Smith is another freshman receiver who's 17 and plays for Ohio State.
Yes, and there is a debate. There are some people think that the kid from Ohio State, the Jeremiah Smith, that he is the best receiver, yes, period,
yes,
in college football.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. This is what they're writing about. They're saying that these two freshman receivers may already be the best wide receivers in college football. Yeah. You have another kid at Texas named Ryan Wingo, who's a freshman who's really good. There are several others. But their point was that it's the OBJ era. Of course, that's Odell Beckham, and Odell Beckham's amazing kind of how would you describe that catch? The one-hander
leaping backwards,
lean back. Yeah.
Remember that catch?
Yeah,
let's just go
like center fielder over the outfield wall. It's an amazing catch.
So that happened in 2014.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so this is why I was skeptical of the article. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to try to tie these receivers being the best in college football at such a young age to the one catch. I'm like, okay, let's see how they do this, right? It's, so this is why I'm skeptical.
It's a bit weird.
Well, one of the really interesting elements of sports to me is the evolution of the athlete.
Sure.
And how that occurs.
Yeah.
And you and I have been around long enough now. We, you know, it's just a different archetype now. Like, I keep going back to the Anthony Edwards scenario. Anthony Edwards, of course, for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. He talks about how his style of play was created by watching YouTube highlights.
Yeah.
He was not coached
for game 7.
He was just a great athlete, and he watched YouTube highlights, and he emulated Kobe and others, and a lot of his game looks like that.
That's the Jason Tatum thing, too, right? I think he's the same way.
Yeah, I mean, same age. Roughly the same age, you know, so that stuff is interesting to me, how the athlete evolves and the next thing. Well, in this instance, they say, okay, so they're pointing to young kids watching OBJ's catch. All right, this happened in 2014. Well, suddenly they're trying to emulate that catch in the backyard. Well, what do you think that leads to?
Well, it leads to more people being able to make that grab, right?
More people being able to make the grab, but also more people seeking out social media content about how NFL wide receivers train, about basically how wide receivers make that catch, okay?
Okay.
So then that leads to, and there is a ton of it out there.
Yeah.
That creates the wide receiver specific training. Hmm. And this teaches the nuances of receiving in a far more sophisticated way at far younger ages than ever before. But there's now, this pops up because there's a demand for it. Then you add the rise of the 7-on-7, which allows kids, because they didn't have that when you and I played, back when I played, like when you played, very similar.
Similar.
These young kids get more reps, and they get better reps because of the 7-on-7 at that position. So one of the guys quoted in here said that every high school football receiver is following some sort of specific trainer. And and it may be specific to that position.
Yeah.
I don't know that every position has that.
Yeah.
But boom, there you go. That is the evolution of the Ryan Williams and the Jeremiah Smiths, who as freshmen are able to come into college football and be the best wide receivers right away. Like, that did not used to happen. You couldn't do that. You couldn't be a freshman, 17 years old, and come straight into college football and be that good. You just couldn't.
No, I mean, and you're seeing this at a lot of different positions. I remember, like, you know, the idea of a freshman quarterback winning a Heisman Trophy was absurd. It was the dumbest thing in the world. And,
yeah,
and freshmen had to go through their growing pains. And I think this goes to a lot of different positions. It's funny. I never, like, all of that makes sense. I just never thought of it as an OBJ sort of thing.
Right.
But I get
that making ushered
that,
it in.
That ushered it in. But like now they have like these things. I mean, the best way I can compare to how everything has changed is when I was growing up, like being an offensive lineman, dude, there weren't even offensive lineman camps. I remember that was just not a thing. If you were just a big guy, you're like, hey, fat boy, you're on the old line and you'll figure it out. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it was. And then I remember like being in college and seeing the evolution of these O-line camps. And now you have like these O-line masterminds and, you know, the Lane Johnson and all these great NFL players get together and they do like these summits and they teach O-line techniques and you see high school kids and they're going through O-line specific drills and it's crazy. And we know about the evolution of quarterbacks and all the 7-on-7 stuff. And it does feel like these elite players are coming in. I don't even recognize like high school and the individual training that these guys go through from when I went through it 25 or 30 years ago.
So the reality is kids have access to more material and coaching than ever before.
Yes.
So you can go straight. Like I said, Anthony Edwards just went to YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. He didn't go to a coach.
No.
And there was a coach that was quoted in this article saying that, you know, it used to be you go to these camps and wide receivers and DBs, if there were, you know, if there were 200 kids, there would be 100 kids who wanted to be wide receivers and 100 kids who wanted to be DBs.
Sure.
He said now it's
wide receiver,
85% wide receiver, and then a few of them want to be DBs. And he said, ask a 10-year-old who their favorite running back is, and they look at you like you have two heads.
Yeah.
Ask them who their favorite receiver is or even who their favorite player is. It's a receiver, and they can go down the list of all their favorites.
That makes total sense.
And that's all.
They're the stars.
A lot of it's credited to one freaking catch, which I think that's really amazing.
And you know what? Now you see that catch, and I'm not crapping on. I mean, the OBJ catch is an amazing.
It's amazing.
He was not a great receiver. He just wasn't. He was a good receiver that was a flashy name.
He had that moment.
Unbelievable. And I'm telling you, you see that moment in time all the time now.
Yeah. You see guys make catches like that.
Yes. Like,
that fun?
Yeah, that is. I never thought about that. And someone on the Vancouver 4 text line said, that's like the Steph Curry effect, right? Yes. Steph Curry came in, and now you see that Steph Curry game.
Kids are going out of their way to try to emulate that specific aspect of the game.
And I can totally see little kids watching that OBJ catch all those years ago and going into the backyard.
Dad, throwing up for me.
I can totally see that happening.
That's right. And now, if you think about other superstars, some of them aren't really duplicatable. Like LeBron comes to mind.
No, you're not six, you know, that's,
unless you got a mini hoop, like you're not going to.
Yeah, he's just a tank. Like you can't really emulate that. You have to be that. Steph, you can.
Here, P1 Cole. I was getting recruited for football. They wanted me to be a DB and I hated that. I'm a wide receiver. That from P1 Cole. Yeah, I mean, D'Anthony Thomas, one of the reasons he went to Oregon besides a bag of cash was that Oregon said that he could be a gadget player. And USC was like, dude, you need to be a DB. You can be an NFL DB. And he was like, no, dude, I want the ball.
I worked in recruiting at Oregon for a little while, and I remember that being a pretty common thing. There were running backs who were good enough to be starters at places elsewhere around the country, and they'd ask the coaching staff to make them a promise they weren't going to switch them to DB. Yeah. I mean, they kids wanted to avoid
that
position.
Are we just now learning that Ryan Buckley worked in recruiting at Oregon?
The
layers of the onion.
It's unbelievable. He's a blooming onion of... I've never heard
I was in college, I interned for the football department for 4 years.
Were you the bag man? Were you handing off?
Not the bag man.
Are you responsible for D'Anthony Thomas coming to Oregon?
No. I do like to take credit, though, for saving Jonathan Stewart's recruiting visit because he was about to have some seafood jambalaya, and he's deathly allergic to shellfish. So I stopped him before he ate it.
Look at Buckley.
How did you know that?
He said, he's like, nice, some chicken gumbo. I'm like, actually, I think that's seafood gumbo. And he's like about to take the bite, and then he didn't.
Well, but how did you know he was allergic?
He said.
He told me.
Oh, he told.
Yeah.
And he did. Oh, wow. Yeah. You may have saved his life.
May have saved his commitment to
You're
Oregon.
A hero.
Ryan Buckley.
And that guy was great.
He was really good.
Jay Stu was.
He was awesome.
At the time, he was the biggest recruit Oregon ever
had.
Was
he from Seattle?
Yeah, he was up north.
Lacey, Washington, I think.
I wonder if he credits you.
Oh, I'm sure not.
He thinks back to that. He's like, I almost died.
That guy whose name I probably have no idea.
It was like you and the Todd. And yes, to be fair, the Vancouver 4 text line, the sticky gloves help.
They do.
Those gloves they've got now, those Nike, whatever. I know everyone has their version of it. I think Nike came out with them first. Those receiver gloves they have, dude, those things are dumb. Like, it is ridiculous the amount of tack.
Because you wonder how someone can make all these one-handed catches or why that's now become a thing. Part of it's the OBJ effect, but part of it is the gloves are good enough now. You can easily make those catches without having to have a second hand.
They're pretty silly.
But the next question is, and we'll come back and talk about this because I have one player in mind. Who is the next, you know, Steph or OBJ?
Well, I know who. I mean,
there's one.
There's one, and you're seeing it right now in college football.
Oh, football. Okay, so I have a baseball.
There's one in football that you are going to see more and more, and there is a damn clone ranger of them running around, and in another 5 to 10 years,
Mahomes.
You're going to see a lot of them.
Anyway, kind of interesting. We'll continue the discussion next on The Fan. We are talking about the OBJ era, and isn't it interesting how one play, one catch, and I think it was in primetime.
That's a great catch.
By Odell Beckham in 2014 has ushered in a world where freshman receivers can come in and dominate in college football.
Oh, yeah.
But the Wall Street Journal wrote a great piece on how that has evolved. And we were asking the question because Anthony Edwards emulated guys off of YouTube. I mean, just social media and the content and the training content that's out there for kids to dig into if they really want to. Yeah. It's stuff that you and I didn't have access to back when you and I played.
Nope. But I remember being a kid. I'm not left-handed, and I remember playing wiffle ball and trying it in real baseball. I wanted to be Will Clark. And instead of even trying, like, I tried to have his batting stance, and yet I tried to do it. I was so dumb, I tried to do it left-handed. Like, I didn't, it never occurred to me to just do it right-handed. I was like, no, I want to be a lefty because that was Will Clark. But I didn't have any, I remember watching TV and trying to, like, you know, like oh, I remember that. But, like, being able to go to YouTube and pull up that whenever you want. I totally get why kids are doing that now.
So that's contributed to the evolution of the modern athlete. You know, you have Steph. We were talking about him, and you were talking about Patrick Mahomes certainly being
when you look at Dominic
emulated.
You know, when you look at Raiola, it's not Dominic.
Dylan.
The Dylan.
His dad's Dominic.
His dad's Dominic. When you look at him, dude, from his haircut, the number. Just the way he walks. I mean,
he does the pregame ritual. He jumps the same way. Dude, he motions to his teammates the same way. It's weird.
He is doing a absolute kick-ass Patrick Mahomes impression. And that's the Steph Curry thing. I see highlights of these kids from like AAU. It is Steph. The dribbles, just the way he hands it, the chewing on the mouthpiece.
Well, and a lot of them pulling up like right like logo Lillard type stuff, and they should not be doing that, but they're doing it anyways.
Well, and who remembers and I wasn't a basketball player, every dumbass that I grew up with all stuck their tongue out playing basketball. And I used to think to myself, dude, you are going to bite your tongue off. But everyone did it because MJ stuck his tongue out. I see kids chewing on those giant oversized mouthpieces. I'm like, you know, you can actually put that in your mouth, but it's Steph does it, so you want
to
do it.
So look, you have to be elite to make it to the elite levels. Okay. Yes. So it doesn't, not everybody can just go on YouTube and emulate Kobe. Okay. So we keeping that in mind.
Yeah.
I was wondering about Shohei.
Yeah.
And when Shohei comes in and basically pulls a Babe Ruth, first time we've seen this Since Babe Ruth. And he does both so well. You just wonder if this ushers in a young group of kids that watch him, particularly if they go deep in the playoffs this year. And maybe if he pitches. I don't know if he's going to pitch. They showed him warming up in the bullpen the other day.
Yeah, there's some rumors that, and maybe not as a starter, but that they could bring him out of the...
Yeah, reports said they're considering it.
Yeah. The bullpen.
But he's not done anyway. I mean, Shohei's going to be here to stay. He's going to come back and pitch next year. Yeah. So you just wonder if that kind of doesn't create a movement in youth baseball that might... You know, in 10 years or whatever, we see.
Well, the funny thing, though, is in youth baseball right now, though, like the best players on the best teams, they're already the best hitter and pitcher. And that happens maybe through high school, but they get curbed.
Right. But what I'm saying is, like,
will someone give the opportunity?
The elite kids, the elite of the elite.
Will people let them pursue both?
That's right. Yeah. Are we now looking at a time where because Shohei did it, it's like, well, you know, let's let you keep hitting while you pitch? You know, I don't know.
Does Travis Hunter usher in the same thing in football?
When he eventually blows out his leg because he plays 120 snaps. Like, Travis Hunter cannot do this in the NFL, and he won't. It's just the NFL and even college football is 100% injury rate. Just imagine, like, you can't. And you would be dumb to try. I think he's dumb to do it in college because in the NFL, we talk about it. Think about it. At 31, 32 years old, at most positions, you're over the hill. Why are you wanting to put that many miles on your tires? That makes no sense to me. The baseball one is interesting because that doesn't necessarily, even with Otani, he's blown out his elbow twice. It doesn't matter. He still goes out and hits. I just wonder because that's to Buck's point, growing up, the best player is always the pitcher and then the left fielder or the pitcher and the shortstop.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper threw 90 plus. Bryce Harper was a pitcher. Zach Wheeler did both, and he talks about that. He sees a still guy that handles the bat pretty well as a pitcher, or did before the DH thing. I just wonder if you're going to get organizations or teams that are like, Paul Skeens was a good hitter. He was a catcher when he went to Air Force, and he said he was a good stick. I don't know. That would be very, very interesting. But I thought about that too. Will this usher in an era?
On the flip side, like Buster Posey pitched. He closed for Florida State's team. He'd like catch eight innings, and then he'd close out the ninth when he played in college.
But at the same time, I just, dude, that is so hard.
Yeah.
That is being truly elite at two different sports, because being a pitcher has nothing to do with the rest of the game of baseball.
Well, I will say too, you don't have to be at Shohei's level to do both. There is a guy for Tampa who does both, and I think he got hurt. I forget his name. I'll have to go look it up. He does both, and they let him do both. Yeah. It's not unheard of.
Is he the guy that's the knuckleballer and position player? Because I think there's a guy that's doing that.
Well, he got hurt, and I think he... I don't know if he has knuckleball or not. I got to go look it up. But they had him doing both. There was one other guy. Might have been Lorenzen. Yeah, I can't remember. I think there was one other one for the Reds that was maybe getting a cup of coffee on both sides. But so you don't have to be at Shohei's level. It's just kind of interesting. It's interesting how with the OBJ example, how one play or one player who's pretty flashy, you know, Tom Brady is an interesting one, because I don't think Tom Brady created this whole subset of kids that want to emulate Tom Brady. Tom Brady was really good and really clinical and the best ever, but I don't think Brady had the impact on kids like Patrick Mahomes or Steph Curry, right? No. So it's not all the great athletes, but who's next to come along and kind of influence, you know, how our athletes look in 10 years? I think that's a really interesting
because there will be
sports question.
There will be the ones.
Well, they're happening right now.
But they can't be the freaks, because like the Wemby, like,
yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you're not, unless you're 7'5" or whatever, like you, but Shaq, like there's, you know.
Could you say Dirk, though? I mean, for big guy, like who ushered in the idea?
That you can be 7 feet.
That you can be 7 feet and shoot like that. I mean, Dirk's teardrop.
Might be Dirk. KD was certainly one.
Yeah, or Garnett.
Yeah, Garnett was a guy. I mean, they say all the time that Chris Webber just was ahead of his time. That if Chris Webber played in this era, he would. And Chris Webber was a great NBA player. But he was a 6'9" forward that didn't want to be a forward. Rasheed was another one of those guys. So sometimes you're just above your, you're ahead of your time. You got to wait for everything to catch up.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark is white.
She will. She is certainly ushering in a new era of women's basketball. Even though the rest of the women hate her, there will be a lot of little girls that will want to pick up a ball because of.
I mean, a lot of similarities in her game to Steph Curry.
Yes,
the way that where she can shoot from anywhere, her handles, all that.
I saw she shoots 24% from three.
Who?
Caitlin. Is that what she did this year?
Yeah, 24%.
Caitlin Clark is white.
And I looked at that.
In college, wasn't she like 34, 35%?
I don't know. I just saw her. She won Rookie of the Year today.
Yeah.
And she shoots 24% from three. And I thought, well,
that's not that good.
Good for the WNBA?
I think she also set at least the rookie assist record, if not led the league in assists.
Yeah.
Brandon McKay, the guy for Tampa,
mm-hmm.
he's young.
Yeah.
He does both, but then he got hurt, and he was on the cusp of the major leagues. I think he's gotten a little bit of run as a pitcher.
Yeah.
But he can hit too, but he's been hurt. So keep an eye on a guy like that. I mean, he's not Shohei, but big leagues doing both, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, just getting to that level at one of them, let alone two.
All right. Who will be the next Woj? The names. Big Sook is on the list.
Be breaking NBA news.
Coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.